Hey, welcome to the teaching portion of Cascades Church Online. Would you turn with me in your Bible to Luke chapter 4? Luke chapter 4. Let me just give you a quick rundown of where we've been as a church for the last, say 8 months. We went through a vision series where we really explained why do we exist and where are we going. And we said we exist to lead people to become fully devoted followers of Jesus and his way. Because we believe when people do that, we will see renewal in our church, in our city, in the lives of individuals and communities. And so that's our vision, really, is to see our city renewed. And in January, we started off a series on the practices. Practices that draw us into God's presence, that make room for us to come in, come to Jesus, but also to live with a rhythm to our life that's sustainable. One that's actually rooted in God and not just our own energy or power. And so now we're in this time where we're trying to make sense of how do we thrive in exile? How do we come out of this time that we're in? We don't even know when it'll end, but actually come back stronger. And so we've looked at the importance of prayer in our lives. But today we're looking at something that's closely related to prayer, and that's fasting. And that's why we're going to look at Luke chapter 4, because I think that God has an invitation for us. I think that God wants to take our church deeper so that we afterwards could actually go wider. He actually wants to increase our spiritual authority. But first, we actually have to know him and trust in him and depend on him. And that's what this is about. There's this theme throughout all of Scripture where God takes his people through seasons of transitions, of wilderness, of isolation and imprisonment. And in that time, God leads them to depend on him. And out of that season where they do that, they come out knowing God deeper, having a greater sense of clarity, but also having, because of that, this greater sense of authority, because they've depended on God and now God can use them in a new way. And that's my prayer for us as a church. In the New Testament, in the passage we see today, Luke 4, we see how Jesus is led into the wilderness. And lots of people have looked at this passage, but the big thing that stands out to me is actually the very end of it, is how Jesus is when he comes out. So with that all in mind, let's read Luke chapter 4. Starting in verse 1, we're going to go all the way to verse 14. And Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness for 40 days, being tempted by the devil, and he ate nothing during those days. And when they ended, he was hungry. The devil said to him, "If you're the Son of God, command this stone to become bread." And Jesus answered him, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone." And the devil took him up and showed him all the kingdoms in the world in a moment of time, and said to him, "To you I'll give you all this authority and their glory, for it's been delivered to me, and I give it to whom I will. If you, then, will worship me, it will all be yours." And Jesus answered him, "It is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve." He took him to Jerusalem and set him on a pinnacle of the temple and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it's written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you, and on their hands they will bear you up, and lest you strike your foot against a stone." And Jesus answered him, "It is said, you shall not put the Lord your God to test." And when the devil had ended every temptation, he departed from him until an opportune time. Verse 14, and Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee, and a report about him went out through all the surrounding country. God, I know you want to take our church deeper. And I ask that you would do that, that you would speak this morning, that you would give us more of yourself. There are things right now that are hindering us from receiving you. Expose them today, this week, and show us a way forward. Help us to depend on you so that we might learn to experience your guidance, your faithfulness, and your presence today. Amen. Hey, the big idea this morning is really this, is that God wants to form a people who are dependent on him. God wants to form a people who are dependent on him. our passage this morning, one of the very first things that I notice out of it is that Jesus is, one, full of the Spirit, and two, he is led by the Spirit into the wilderness. And there in the wilderness, Jesus faces temptations, three temptations. But what stands out to me is this thing that Jesus being led into the wilderness. God is leading Jesus there. Jesus, if you think, if the context of this passage is that Jesus has just been baptized, and God the Father says, "This is my Son, my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." And the Holy Spirit comes down on Jesus in the form of a dove. And so there's this beautiful moment where it's like the veil is removed and you just see God at work and speaking audibly, saying this. And then immediately after, Jesus is led into the wilderness. You know, the baptism, Jesus, is a powerful moment. And then here in the wilderness, it seems like it's this trial, this temptation, this is a struggle. And I think this is really important for us to look at in this moment in time where we are. Because I think we're in this kind of like a wilderness too. You know, Jesus, though, he's not only just in a wilderness where he's pulled away from people socially like you and I are. He's actually doing something else. He's led by the Spirit to fast, meaning he's abstaining from food. And it tells us that he does this for 40 days. And during that time, Satan comes and tempts him. What's fascinating and what really stands out, I'll speak to the temptation, but to me, one of the things I see here is that this wilderness is more than just a temptation time. It's actually a time of formation where God wants to form us. And you might say, well, isn't Jesus complete? Well, Luke chapter 3 speaks of how Jesus grew in wisdom and in stature before God and before people. So Jesus isn't just God. He is fully God, but he's also fully man. And he grew in that. And we don't always think of that. But it's true. Now, this is something God wants to do in us. He wants to form us in this wilderness season that we're in. And in this time, there's an invitation for you and I to go deeper. Deeper in our trust of him. And what we see Jesus do here, with each of these temptations, we see that Jesus sets his eyes on God's character, on God's presence, and on God's way. The first temptation, Satan comes at Jesus and says, "Hey, look, you're hungry. If you're really the Son of God, you know, God's beloved, turn these rocks into bread. Provide for yourself." But Jesus also recognizes that while there's a temptation, there's an invitation. And the invitation is to actually trust that God, his Father, sustains him, not just by bread, but by his own word. And so Jesus depends on what he knows about God's character. Satan comes at him again and says, "Hey, I've got these kingdoms, authority's been given to me, I could give them to you, all you gotta do is worship me." And Jesus says, "God is the only one to be worshiped and served alone. No one else is worthy of that." What Jesus actually cites in this moment is from Deuteronomy and how God had been brought Israel out, I should say, out of slavery in Egypt. And they were set free, but the reason they were set free was to worship God. And Jesus was going to be leading a second exodus. And he wasn't going to lead people to worship Satan. He was going to lead people to worship God, the one who created everything. So Jesus, there's no way he's going for that. And he clarifies that. And again, Jesus is tempted to put God, his Father, to the test. And Satan comes to Jesus and tells him, "Hey, look, throw yourself off this cliff if you're really the Son of God. And if you are, God will save you." What he's trying to get Jesus to do here is like, look, force is to force God the Father's hand. Now, in each case, Jesus is made wiser to that. Why? Well, I think it's because he depends on the strength and on the power of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit has led him into this time where everything is really quite clear. This is why Satan's just coming and it's so blatant. And he's trying to come at Jesus in this moment where his hunger is so clear, where he hasn't been around people. And he's saying, "Look, you haven't been around people? Worship me and you'll get all the praise and glory you want. Don't take God's way," which Jesus knew would eventually lead to the cross. But like, don't take that. You can take this other way. And you can get all of the authority, all the glory. It's a lie. He can't actually deliver, but he's offering it. Jesus sees that. Jesus recognizes that God is the one who sustains him beyond just food. And one of the big things I think that I see here is that Jesus knows his identity because God the Father has affirmed him and said, "You're my son." And now Jesus spent his 40 days there, like meditating on God's word and what God has said to him, that I'm his son. And so when Satan says, "Are you really?" Jesus is like, "Yeah, I believe what he said about me." And there's something similar there for you and I, those of us who put our trust in Jesus, that our identities, they're not anything else. First and foremost, they're actually in who God says we are, that we're his children. Romans 8 talks about how God has not given us a spirit of slavery, but actually a spirit of adoption, that we're children of God. And that's because of Jesus. Anyone who believes in Jesus is being given the right to be called a child, a son or daughter of God. And that's what you and I need to remember as we're in this season. But with that, we need to know that God wants to bring us deeper, into a deeper trust of him, into a deeper confidence of his character, a commitment to his way, a greater experience of his presence. And we'll be tempted, just like Jesus was, to take another path, to distract ourselves from the pain we're feeling right now of loneliness, you know, the pain maybe some of us are feeling financially, the pain that most of us are feeling just in the sense of like a loss of comfort and rhythm that we once had. All of that's been taken up. And the question you and I need to answer is, how have we been working through that pain and discomfort? Are we just distracting ourselves? Maybe it's not bread we're being tempted with, but it's something else. Maybe some of us, we recognize God's actually calling us to serve other people, to help other people at this time, to sacrifice our time, our money, or our resources, and we've been hesitating. But Jesus says, whoever will follow me must take up their cross, meaning it will cost us something, our lives, our lordship. No, because he's the Lord, right? So there's a call for us here. And we'll be tempted to soften the blow, the call that God has on our lives. Even in this season of wilderness, we'll be tempted to do that. It's going to be even stronger. And again, we'll be tempted to maybe even put God to the test. Like, you know, if God really doesn't want me to do this, he's got to show me. I'm going to move in this direction. And if he doesn't stop me from doing that, even though I know it's wrong, even though I know it's not good, he better show up. That's how I'll know. And what that's doing in that moment is actually forcing God's hand. We get tempted to do that in different ways. We put ourselves in positions we know we shouldn't put ourselves in because we know we won't do well. It'll lead us to sin or to do something on our computer, on our phone, with certain people or whatever it may be. And we, in that moment, it's like we're putting him to the test. Saying, "Hey God, show up, stop me if you don't want me to." But here's why we need to know this, that God wants to form a people dependent on him. It's because faithful dependence leads to an expansion of our spiritual authority. Spiritual authority, actually, it comes from being with God and being changed by him. You'll notice that the disciples in Acts, it talks about how they, the religious leaders were shocked because they knew that though those men were uneducated, they had been with Jesus and Jesus had changed them. And the same goes for you and I. As we come to him and depend on him, he will change us. And the gift that God wants to give us in this season of dependence, just as we see in Jesus, is actually more of himself. One of the things that I've been wondering is, what if in this season of upheaval and total loss of our norm and comforts, is God saying, "I actually want to give you more of myself, more of my presence"? I think God has wanted to do that from the outset. He's wanted to give humanity more of himself, more of his life, his love, his joy, his character. And this is why Jesus came and lived and died for us. See, Jesus wasn't only led into the wilderness, Jesus was actually led to the cross. He trusted the leading of the Spirit of God's will for him to the point where it led him to a cross, where he was nailed there. And it wasn't just the nails that held him on the cross, it was love. love for his Father, but love for you and I. Jesus, on the cross, actually experienced the ultimate wilderness. On the cross, he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? He experienced all of the separation that comes from our sin. He took it upon himself. And on the cross, he cried out, Father, forgive them. So that when you and I are in our wilderness, we don't have to go through it alone. We never have to cry out, why have you forsaken me? Because he's actually with us. Jesus was faithful and he depended on the Father. So that even when we fail to depend on him, we can have forgiveness and confidence that God will lead us and help us. Jesus, though, he also gave us his Spirit. The same Spirit that raised him to new life. Now we have that. So that we can experience his life in the wilderness. So that we can have his power in the wilderness. And it's that life, a life of dependence, that poured forth into the rest of his ministry. When Jesus came out, we know that he came out of the wilderness in the power of the Spirit, and his impact on the lives of many as he proclaimed that the year of the Lord's favor had come, that the Spirit of the Lord was upon him to proclaim good news, to set the captives free, to heal the blind. He had this authority because he had depended on the Father, on the Spirit, and he came out and it blessed so many other people. He embraced the invitation in the wilderness to depend, and it formed him and it led him to continuing to depend throughout his entire life all the way to the cross. Jesus didn't come out of the wilderness weaker. He actually came out of it stronger. He came out of it stronger. With a greater sense of clarity and focus on God, he saw so clearly the very character of God and who God was calling him to be and what God was calling him to do. All of that was reinforced in that time. We see that throughout Jesus' ministry, that wilderness experience where Satan comes at him so explicitly, after that, Satan doesn't come at him in the same way. He tries to come at him in more subtle ways. He tries to resist him. But that moment was a key moment, because what Jesus demonstrated was that God's plan for humanity was being fulfilled in Jesus. Jesus was what humanity was supposed to be. Where Adam and Eve failed to trust God, where Israel, which was supposed to be God's new humanity, failed, Jesus was faithful. And now Jesus, through the gift of the Holy Spirit, enables his people to actually be faithful in our wilderness as well. And that's a great promise. So how do we do that? How do we live this out? How do we grow in our dependence so that God can form us? Well, let me just say, it's not going to be easy. It's going to be painful. And the way we do it, I think, is through fasting. It's not the only way, but I think fasting is a very important part. Fasting, to be clear, is not commanded in Scripture that every Christian has to do it. God doesn't require it. He doesn't demand it. At the same time, the Bible does present fasting as something that is good and profitable and beneficial for people, for his people. Fasting is more about our focus than it is about food. Fasting trains us to be increasingly dependent on God. And that's why I think it's helpful for this season for us. It trains us to be increasingly dependent on God, and it's temporarily abstaining from food, though you can fast from other things, in order to focus our attention on God. We take our eyes off of the world and we put our eyes onto God. In the wilderness, Jesus sets his eyes on God's character, on his presence, on God's way. And that's our model too when we fast, is we set our eyes on God's character, on his presence, and on his way. I mean, when we fast, we always need to have a purpose. In the Bible, people fast because they want God to change them, they want God to change their circumstances, or to reveal something for them. reveal something to them. In the book of Acts, we see that God's people in Acts chapter 13 and in Acts chapter 14, we see that his people are fasting and praying before they make important decisions. They're seeking God's direction. Francis Chan and David Platt say this: the Bible gives us many reasons to fast. We fast because we're hungry for God's word and God's spirit in our lives. We fast because we long for God's glory to resound in the church and God's praise to resound among the nations. We fast because we yearn for God's son to return and God's kingdom to come. Ultimately, we fast simply because we want God more than we want anything this world has to offer us. I love that. I love that. You know, one of the things that I've prayed and fasted for is for God to renew our church and to renew our city. This is just my heartbeat for us. And it's no secret why, right? We've been in this season of transition. And even now through COVID, I'm still praying, God, would you do it? Would you renew us? Move in this way. There's no reason why he can't do it here. So I'm crying out to him for him to do that. So how do we do that? How do we fast? Well, outside of having a purpose for it, when we fast, we also pray. They go together. If you fast but you don't pray, all you're going to do is just feel these terrible hunger pains. It's hard. It's not easy. And it's not the point. God's not out to have his people just suffer. He's interested in people having people come to him, to remove any distractions, and to come to him. When we fast, we do it for a period of time. You can fast for a meal, you can fast for a week, you can fast for longer, but there's a period of time. It's not just indefinite. You're not going to fast for 86 years. You wouldn't survive, right? So you fast for a period of time, and sometimes it is a day or a few days or a week. You know, in Jesus' case, we see that it was 40 days. If you've never fasted, I would not advise that whatsoever. How long will depend on the type of fast you do and your health, right? So you can fast just from food alone. You can fast short-term wise from food and water. Daniel, he fasts from specific foods. You limit yourself to certain types of food. He didn't want to eat the foods that the Babylonians wanted to give him. He wanted to show them something different. And he was able to do that for a period of time. You can also fast from certain activities, right? So this is where we're not just talking about food. It could be that you fast from something that tends to distract you, or something that you sense is, you know, it's kind of, when you fast from something else, it's like pushing pause on something that you think might be having control over your life more than you would ever want it to. Right, so that may be your phone, that may be technology or social media or something else. But again, the reason isn't just because you're trying to get away from it. The reason is because you want to focus yourself on who God is and having more of him. Now, the reason why you wouldn't necessarily fast is because perhaps you have medical conditions or dietary restrictions. And if so, then you would need to consult a doctor before doing this. You know, I wouldn't just say blindly go and fast. That's not wise whatsoever. We want to be wise about how we do this. And there's a few ways that you can do this. Just let me give you some practical ones here. For this week, okay, if you want to do this, fast for a meal. This is a great starting point if you've never fasted. Fast for one meal. And what I would say is pay attention to your thoughts and your mind. Replace, though, that time where you would have eaten. If you were preparing a meal, replace that time where you would have prepared it with prayer. So if you know that it takes, you know, if you're really regimented and you say, from 8 o'clock to 8:15 is when I eat, then spend that time in prayer. If you, you know, if it's going to be a dinner meal and you're going to fast that, then, and you know it takes, you know, about 35 minutes to prepare a meal and some bit more, then spend that time in prayer. It doesn't have to be regimented, but replace the time you would have had where you eat with prayer, coming to God. What I would say is if you're going to do this and it's just going to be a meal, do it on Monday. Do it this week. Do it on Monday morning, fast from breakfast, and pray. And here, let me just give you two things to pray for. Pray for God to renew our church and to direct our church. Monday morning, it's tomorrow, super simple. Here's another way you could do it. You could fast for a whole day, but drink water, right? Pray asking God to satisfy your desires. Every time you feel a hunger pang, there's that pain in you, it's God be like, I want you to satisfy my hunger with more of you. I need you and I want more of you. And so all what that does is it's like training your body. Oh, I feel that. I want to satisfy that with food. But God, you know what? What I desire even more is for you to satisfy me. What I desire even more is for you to move in my life, in my family, in this family member or friend who doesn't know you, that I've wanted them to come to know you for so many years. And so all of a sudden, you're using that pain and discomfort to actually direct you back to God. Thirdly, you can fast from social media, TV, or technology for a day. Just fast from it for a day. And every time you feel like that kind of prompting to check your phone or to, you know, watch a show or whatever it is for that day, say, God, like that desire that I have in this moment, I actually want my desire for you to increase. So would you move in my heart to make me desire you even more? Here's a fourth one. Commit to fasting. You know, if those areas like you feel like you're actually fasting regularly, what I'd suggest is this. Commit to fasting for once a week for a meal. And in that time, again, just come to God in prayer. But God, I want more of you. I want more of you in our church. Would you increase the hunger in our church? And then I would say, commit to fasting for one full day a month. One full day a month. I don't know if you've noticed this, but our church has been pushing prayer quite a bit over the last month and a bit. Actually, almost 2 months now. And that has been intentional. We felt God leading us to actually emphasize prayer in our church. We're not going to be a prayerless church. And that has to start with the leaders, but it also has to bleed into our people. And so that's why we've been pushing it in our announcements. And one of the big opportunities for you to just be involved is actually to be praying, because we believe that God actually hears the prayers of his people, but he actually moves in his people. And we want him to move in us and through us into our city. And so we're praying. And that's why we did that partnership where we were, praying each day for different areas and different realms. And we're praying every Wednesday. And throughout the month of May, we've been doing this 24/7 prayer campaign, partnering with churches throughout our city to pray for an hour. And our desire is that we'd have every hour slot of the month of May filled. If you haven't signed up yet, that's a great way to connect this with that. And then, along with that, I would just say, pray. You know, if you're needing direction in your life, pray in that time where you would fast for direction, for God to move in that person's life. Let me just give you an example. Lindsay and I, we went to Spain in 2015. We had just gotten married and we spent a few weeks there, and it was an awesome time. And one of the things we did for one of the days there was we devoted it to just praying and fasting over direction, over our marriage, missions. We had a heart for Mexico and still do. And we were just like, God, do you want us to go there? How does this all work? We were trying to work through like our family, like what do you want our family to be like? Are the values of our family? When do you want us to start a family? All these types of things. And you know what? That day that we devoted was a powerful time where God really directed us. And we journaled the things we sensed God saying and directing us to. And there have been a number of points since then where we've looked back on that time and saw what we felt God leading us to do. And we were like, wow, like God really did lead us. So just be encouraged. This isn't just a thing for an individual. God leads people, couples, families. And I encourage you to do this as a family if you've never tried it. Here's one of the things that I find fasting does to us, is it really begins to reveal the things in our life that we depend on. When you fast, it's like pushing pause on the things that you've been suspecting have a greater sense of control of your life, especially when it comes to things like technology, like your phone or social media or whatever it may be. Because you'll start to notice it. You'll start to realize how much of an impact it has on you. And one of the things is I noticed for me is coffee. A few weeks ago, I felt prompted by God to pray for someone who it has been really quite sick. And just so you know, I'm not uber spiritual. You'll see why right away. The day that I fasted, I chose to fast from coffee as well. And if you know me, you know that I drink coffee every day, that I love coffee, that I used to drink coffee, like a liter of coffee a day, like a full French press to myself, usually before lunch. And I've been trying to cut back progressively, and so I'm down to about a half liter. And some of you are like, wow, a half liter. Yeah, I know, I'm working on it, okay? But that day I didn't do any of it, and I sought to fast so that I could pray for God to work in this person's life, to heal this person. And that day I felt terrible. I had withdrawal headaches. I felt nauseous. I felt irritable. And I wasn't just hiding. I was trying to live life, doing the same things I wouldn't normally do. But I just felt that so strongly. And it felt terrible. But one of the things it revealed to me was how dependent I am on coffee. How much I need coffee just to feel like a regular person. And I realized, I was like, man, I gotta continue to work on this, to continue to minimize. I don't wanna be dependent on it. I actually wanna be increasingly dependent on God, not on other things. And so maybe for you, you're like, I never drink coffee. I can't stand the taste of it. Great, fine, more coffee for people like me. But you know, maybe it's something else. Maybe, you know, maybe it really is your phone. You can't put it down. Do you know how many times you check your phone a day? How many times you lift it up to just check for a notification? You know, our phones form us. But God's desire is that He would be the one who forms us first and foremost. And so I encourage you to choose something that you're going to fast from, not just to abstain from it, but actually to be drawn closer to God and depend on Him. This is what John Piper says about fasting. He says, he calls it she. She reveals the measure of food's mastery over us, or television, or computers, or whatever we submit to again and again to conceal the weakness of our hunger for God. And she remedies it by intensifying the earnestness of our prayers and saying with our whole body what prayer says with the heart. I long to be satisfied in God alone. I love that. And so when we have that hunger, that yearning, that desire, and we couple that with prayer, we say, God, I long for you to satisfy me. I long to be satisfied in you alone. And that's what we see Jesus do in the wilderness. And he's able then from that point to say, look, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Whoever's thirsty and drinks for the water that I offer them, that I give them, they will never thirst again. Their thirst will be quenched. You know, this is what Jesus offers us because he's actually experiencing it. He actually has it. And so you and I are invited to experience that same life as well. This isn't meant to, you know, pointing out these areas where we depend. They're not meant to make, where we depend on other things apart from God. They are not meant to make us despair. What they are meant to do is reveal the areas where we haven't been dependent on God so that we would turn from them and allow God to work in our life, to give us more of himself. See, fasting is this vehicle for dependence on God. That's why I think it's so helpful. It's this helpful tool. God wants to take us deeper into our trust of his character, into a deeper experience of his presence, and to a deeper commitment of his way so that he can use us. That can't happen unless we'll follow him in the wilderness, unless we depend on him. We go back to, you know, verse 14 of how Jesus comes out of the wilderness in the power of the Spirit. And out of that time, that dependence he had on God, just he continues to do it out in the Galilee region and throughout his ministry. And the blessings that he has, it actually leads to healing and salvation for the nations. But it happened and it was formed in this time in the wilderness where he depended on God. Right? You see, this time of dependence, it's not just about us. It's also for others. Others will be blessed by the work that we allow God to do in our life now. And that's the promise and the invitation we have. So will you let God form you into someone who depends on him? God, I pray that you would speak and lead us this week, that you would be revealing the things we've been depending on that you don't actually want us to depend on anymore, because you want to actually give us more of yourself. I pray that you would give us the joy of your salvation when we realize the areas that we've been getting it wrong. And I also pray, God, that you would be giving us the courage to step forward and to trust you and to push pause and to take a break from some of these things that maybe you've already been making us aware of. And today has just been kind of like the reinforcement, the confirmation we needed. I also just pray against any spirit of like, just religiosity that would think that this is something that makes you really pleased with us or anything like that, God. This is just our desire to come close to you, to have more of you, and to respond to your invitation to depend on you. I pray this today, Lord, in your name. Amen. At this time, we're going to take a communion. And so would you prepare that? We celebrate communion, celebrating Jesus' death for us and his resurrection. That because of him, we can become children of God. That because of him, we get to have this meal, a celebration feast where we feast with God. And he's here in this moment in our homes. And we take his body, which was broken for us, so that we could be healed and restored, so that we could be made one with God. And then we take a cup, symbolic of his blood shed for us, so that we could be washed clean. None of our sin, none of our shame, none of it remains. We've been purified because of Jesus' blood. And we celebrate and declare that Jesus is King, that he's resurrected, and he's gathering his people together. And so right now, I invite you to do that. And Jonas, our worship leader, is going to lead in a song of worship.